At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
You're listening to continuing coverage of the trial of Chad Daybell from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Let's go back to the courtroom.
All right. District Court's again in session.
All right. Thank you. We do have the jurors lined up, I believe. So we'll go ahead and just have them brought in if we're ready.
Sure. All right, please. Here's our president counter for your honor.
All right. Thank you. Please be seated. Okay, we're back on the record on CR 2221-1623, State of Idaho versus Chad Guy Daybell. The jury's returned from the mid-afternoon recess, is properly seated. The state just concluded with the witness, Mr. Gilbert. And so at this time, I believe the state's prepared to call another witness. Is that correct?
We are, Your Honor. The state would call Janice Olson.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yeah.
All right, thank you. Now that the witness has been sworn, I just need to inquire because of an exclusionary order in the case that doesn't allow for witnesses to view testimony. This trial has been live streamed and open to the public. Ms. Olson, have you observed any of the trial since it started?
No.
Okay. Have you discussed with anyone else testimony they've given in the trial?
No.
Okay. Thank you for your responses, Mr. Wixom. You may go ahead and inquire on direct.
Thank you, Your Honor. Ma'am, will you please state your full name and spell it for the record, please?
Janice Olson, J-A-N-I-C-E-O-L-S-O-N.
Thank you. And where do you live?
Just a little out of St. Anthony.
And where is that relative to Salem, Idaho?
About 12, 15 miles away.
And what do you do for work?
I teach first grade.
How long have you taught first grade?
This will be my 30th year.
And have you always taught at the same school?
Yes.
Which school is that?
Central Elementary.
And where is that school?
In Sugar City.
And I want to draw your attention back to October of 2019. Do you recall working with Tammy Daybell?
Yes.
And can you explain to the jury at work, how often did you have interaction with Tammy?
All day. We're just kind of in and out of our classrooms, in the hall, the lunchroom, in our teacher's workroom.
So is it fair to say you saw her multiple times a day?
Yeah. Yes.
And you said the lunchroom. Did you ever have occasion to have lunch with her?
Yes.
How often do you think that would happen?
3-4 times a week.
If you were to think about the working relationship you had with her, how would you describe that relationship?
She was a friend, good colleague.
And when you interacted with her at school, did you have any chance or opportunity to observe her activity or her work?
Yes.
What did you observe about her?
She was very organized, on top of things. She always went the extra mile to get books into kids' hands and to make sure we knew what was in the library. And
did you ever, I'll withdraw that, where is the library in the school?
Down the hall. You walk in, you just go straight down the hall and to the left, just after the lunchroom.
How would Tammy go and get students and bring them to the library? What did she have to do?
She would actually stay in the library. Well, she'd come around and gather books during the week if you had library that day. But then when it was our library time, we'd take our class down, drop them off at the library, pick them back up after they were done.
Outside of school, did you ever, were you ever involved in any activities with Tammy?
Yes.
What activities were those?
She came to our HIIT/Zumba class a couple times a week.
How often, twice a week, you say?
Mm-hmm.
How long is each class?
An hour.
Drawing again your attention back to October of 2019, I'm going to ask you just to speak of the last couple of months before that time. Was Tammy a regular attender of the class?
Yes.
And when you went to class, did you have the opportunity to observe her in class?
Yes.
And what did you observe her doing in the class typically?
Just following along, just like everybody else.
Did you ever notice whether or not she seemed to struggle in the class?
No.
Did she ever fall behind?
No.
Did she ever quit early?
No. Usually if she thought it was too hard, I mean, everybody does it. If they're out of wind for a second, they stop and march, or they just keep moving and then join back up.
Did she ever do that?
I don't recall if she did, but I'm sure we all do.
So just based on those observations, did you make any observations about Tammy's health or fitness level?
Yeah, she was active and healthy.
Did you eventually learn of Tammy's death?
Yes.
How did you learn of her death?
I had a student in my class whose mother worked with her in her church calling.
And how did you learn?
Oh, sorry. She called me that morning to tell me.
What was your reaction when you had learned of her death?
Shock.
Why shock?
Because I'd just seen her on Friday and she was fine and she was at exercise class that week.
When you say you had just seen her on Friday, which Friday are you talking about?
Well, the Friday at school, the day before. It was just Friday at school, and then it got called Saturday morning. So
are we talking about the Friday before she passed away on Saturday?
Yes.
And you said you had seen her there?
Yes.
Had you interacted with her that much that day?
I'm sure I did.
Did she ever mention anything that day to you about not feeling well?
No.
Did she ever mention anything about her health at all there?
No.
Did you notice her to have any kind of symptoms or appear to not be feeling well?
No.
Generally speaking, was Tammy the type of personality, did she ever complain about things?
No.
Do you recall her ever complaining about health matters at all?
No.
Again, focused on that last couple of months before she passed, did you ever observe whether or not Tammy had made any significant gains or decreases in weight?
I haven't. I didn't.
So is it fair to say she appeared to stay at the same weight?
Yes.
Your Honor, I have no further questions for this witness.
All right. Mr. Pryor, cross-examination.
Just briefly, Judge. Thank you. So if I understand your testimony, Ms. Olson, is it true that the children were brought to Tammy for exercising their library time?
Yes.
So Tammy would not have to walk to the other end of the school to pick up the children and then walk them back every day, right? Correct?
Correct.
In other words, the children were as part of their hour, I guess I don't know how this would work, but as part of their library hour, the teacher's responsibility were to gather up their students, walk them to the library, and then at the return of their hour, the teacher would go back to the library, pick up the students, and bring them back to their class. Would that be fair?
Yes.
Okay. I want to talk to you a little bit about the Friday before Tammy passed away. As part of her duties as the librarian, that day was particularly busy that Friday because do you recall that she was trying to get all of the boxes and books together for the book fair?
Objection. Counsel is testifying, Your Honor.
Sustained.
Do you have any recollection of Tammy preparing for a book fair that Friday?
No, I don't.
Okay. Nothing else, Judge. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Redirect, Mr. Wixom.
Just a couple of questions, please. Ma'am, can you please explain for the jury, where was your classroom relative to the library in the school?
I'm right by the front doors, just as you come inside to the left.
So related to the library, where is that?
Well, I'm here. And you would go down the hall around the lunchroom and she'd be just the first doors on the left.
Would it be fair to say that it'd be possible that Tammy could be walking around in the school and you wouldn't?
Well, on those grounds, it's just for speculation, Mr. Wixom, so I'll sustain an objection there.
Did you ever see Tammy walking around in school at all?
All day, every day.
When would you see her walking? What would she be doing?
She'd be coming to gather up the books before we made it to library. For each class, she would be passing out books. If I had said I'm teaching about insects or something, she would gather up some really good insect books that she had in the library and bring them to our classes.
No further questions, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Wixom. Mr. Wixom, would there be any need to recall this witness?
There is not, Your Honor.
Will the defense call the witness? Okay. If you're here under subpoena, you're released from the subpoena. Thank you for appearing and testifying in trial.
Thank you.
You can be excused. You can call its next witness.
Thank you, Your Honor. At this time, the state would call Taylor Ballard.
Swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God. Thank you.
All right, Ms. Ballard, you've been placed under oath. I just want to inquire before you testify. This case has been live streamed on the court's channel as well as open to the public to view the trial proceedings. Have you observed any of the trial testimony that's taken place since the trial started?
No, sir.
All right. And have you talked to anyone else about testimony they have given at trial?
No, sir.
Okay. Thank you for your responses. Mr. Wixom, if you'd like to inquire, you may.
Thank you, Your Honor. Ma'am, will you please state and spell your full name for the record?
Taylor Ballard, TaylorBallard.
And where do you live?
Rexburg, Idaho.
What do you do for work?
I'm a health insurance broker at Ballard Insurance Group.
How long have you been an insurance broker?
14 years.
Is that something that requires a license from the state?
It is.
Can you just briefly explain to the jury the difference between an insurance broker and an agent?
An insurance agent represents one carrier, one health carrier or company, and an insurance broker represents several.
In your work, do you help people get medical insurance?
I do.
Is that something you've done for the entire 14 years?
Yes.
I now want to ask you, do you know Chad Daybell?
On a professional level.
When did you first become acquainted with him?
October 31st, 2019.
And how did you become acquainted with him?
He came into my office to inquire about an individual health policy for him and his children.
And were you able to help him with that?
Yes.
Did he explain why he needed the insurance?
I was already aware. He had been referred to us. He was losing coverage that day from his deceased wife's policy through her employer plan, who we also administer.
So is it fair to say you weren't surprised by his inquiry?
Right.
And when you said he was inquiring about coverage for his children, did he tell you which children he was trying to cover?
Yes, it was Seth, Leah, and Mark.
At that point in time, did he make any inquiries about the possibilities of adding a spouse?
No.
And just very briefly, what, under most medical plans, what qualifications does a dependent have to meet to be able to be put on a parent or step parent's policy?
On the individual market, which is what we were talking about, they need to be under 26, unmarried, and claimed as a tax dependent on the joint return.
So can a step parent add a stepchild to their policy?
Yes.
And during that initial contact and that request about insurance information, what information did you need to gather from him to look at what policies you might be able to help with?
These particular policies that he was interested in are based on income to see if you can qualify for assistance. So we discussed income as well as demographic information for him and the children.
What information did he give you about income?
He stated that without his wife's income, now that she had passed away, his self-employment of a book publishing company would operate at a loss.
Did you do anything to verify that status of income?
At that time, it was just verbal.
Did you later request that he verify his income?
Yes.
And how did you request that verification come?
I went to Health and Welfare to apply him for the benefits, and their interface was showing that his self-employment was reporting at about $30,000 profit annually. So they stated we would need a copy of his tax return.
Did you eventually request a copy of the tax return?
Yes.
And we'll come back to that. So it sounds like that it sounds like he initially told you he was operating at a loss, but you found out he was making $30,000 a year?
According to Health and Welfare's interface, yes.
Okay. And a moment ago, you also said in that conversation that you were gathering demographic information about the children.
Mm-hmm.
Can you, and when you do answer for the record, a yes or no, so the record will capture that. What demographic information were you gathering? What were you asking of him?
Children's names, birthdays, socials.
And so did he provide all that information with respect to the children he was trying to cover?
Yes.
After that particular meeting, when's the next time that you recall talking to him?
I texted him on November 5th, 2019, asking if he could provide a copy of his 2018 tax return.
Did he respond?
He did.
What did he say?
He responded that day saying he was out of town all week, but he would probably be able to stop by the following week.
Did he eventually produce the tax return?
Yes.
Okay. And then when's the next time you had contact with him?
November 21st, 2019.
And can you please explain the nature of that contact? Did you talk to him on the phone, text? Did he come in?
I reached out to him via text, and then he came into my office.
And what was your purpose in texting him that day?
Based on the tax return that was provided, it was proven that his business did operate at a profit. And so therefore, he was eligible for different insurance than we had previously discussed. So we discussed what his options would look like for January 2020.
And in that conversation, what do you recall him mentioning at that point?
He had asked me if he were to get married, how hard it would be to add the new wife.
And if he said that as a hypothetical?
Yes.
So he didn't tell you that he had been married?
Correct.
And what was your reaction to that?
I just told him that there's lots of variables and we could worry about that when we got to it, if it happened.
In that conversation, did he ever later state that he had plans to marry?
When I responded with what I just told you, he said, look, I'm going to be honest with you. I'll probably be married by the end of the year. So I'm just curious what the process looks like.
And both of these statements came on the 21st of November, correct?
Yes.
At that point in time, did the two of you discuss any other potential dependents?
No.
At that point in time, did you gather any additional information or submit any type of insurance application?
Not on the 21st, no.
Okay. During that conversation, at any point, did Chad ever mention to you the names JJ or Tylee?
No.
Okay. When's the next time you recall having interaction with him?
December 11th, 2019.
And what was that occasion? Explain that to the jury, please.
He just wanted to make sure he was square for January of 2020. And so we discussed, he picked his plan and he paid for it.
Okay. So he actually applied for the plan on that date on December 10th?
In between the 21st and the 11th is when I had been doing the back work. And on the 11th, he was calling to follow up.
Did you have any conversations with him during that time frame?
Mm-mm.
At that point in time, when he picked his plan, did he pay a premium for the plan?
Yeah.
At that point in time, did he bring up the name JJ or Tylee?
No.
Did he bring up the name Lori?
No.
When's the next time? Well, let me withdraw that. At any point in time after that, did you ever receive any mail at your office for Chad?
Yes.
What did you receive, the best you can recall?
We received 5 letters. I believe 2 of them were from Health and Welfare and 3 of them were from Select Health, which is the carrier that he chose. They were addressed to him, but they had our address on them.
Is that something that may typically happen in your business?
Never.
So clients never forwarded or used your address to have mail sent to?
Never.
Did that strike you as normal, cause any questions for you?
It definitely was not normal. We weren't sure why that was happening because all of the applications that we took and all of the online systems showed the address he had provided me.
So what do you recall as the next interaction with Chad?
March 11th, 2020.
Do you recall any interaction with him during December?
Only when he called to make his payment.
At any point in time after he made his payment for his insurance, had you learned anything about JJ or Tylee?
Overall.
May answer.
Yes.
What did you learn about them and when?
December 23rd of 2019, I was in health and welfare doing other business, and it got brought up to me as if I was asked if I had heard about it yet.
Just generally speaking, what had you learned about JJ and Tylee?
That Chad had remarried someone who had two children and they were missing.
Did that cause you any concern at that point?
Yes.
What was the concern?
Well, I was just confused. I didn't know what to think of it, because when they first mentioned that children were missing, I wondered if it was the children that I had helped him insure. And then it also made me question his deceased wife's.
In what way did you question that?
Can you ask me that again?
In what way did it make you question his deceased wife?
I was just curious of the timing. It just seemed fast.
Let me ask this. Did your office handle any insurance for Tammy before she passed?
Yes.
What insurance policies did your office handle for Tammy?
Health, life, disability.
So did you at any point in that time period look at any of Tammy's insurance policies?
Yes.
What did you look at?
I checked to see what her life insurance amount was and if it had been paid out yet.
And what did you find?
That it had been paid out, and that her most recent open enrollment, which was in August 1st, September 1st effective date, that she had upped it to the max.
And is it normal for an insurance broker to look at those types of things?
Yes.
Why?
To make sure the beneficiaries are correct, to make sure that we have the right amounts on there, since it has to do with their income, what they qualify for.
And I believe you were starting to try to explain, you did have a contact with Chad on the, was it the 1st of March, or when was the next contact?
March 11th.
Thank you. Can you please describe to the jury, what was the nature of that contact?
He had come into my office to inquire about getting health insurance for his wife.
At that point, did he tell you who his wife was?
Yes.
Who did he say?
He said her name was Lori Daybell, and he wrote her name on a sticky note, Lori Ryan Daybell.
Did he happen to mention to you when he had married her?
He said November 5th, 2019.
What was your reaction to his inquiry about adding his wife at that point?
Well, he had stated to me that she was incarcerated. And so I told him she wouldn't necessarily need insurance right now, but he was worried about something happening to her. And I told him she would be covered under the state as long as she was incarcerated.
Did you have any further discussion about how to potentially insure her if she were to no longer be incarcerated?
Yes. When he told me the date of marriage, I told him that that was outside of the enrollment window. It had been longer than 60 days. He said that she should be getting out the following week. And I told him that we could use that as a qualifying event.
So was a plan made then at that point to do so if she became unincarcerated?
Yes.
Just the general nature of that conversation, was there anything unusual about that conversation?
No.
At any point in that conversation, did he ever bring up anything about his computer?
I was going through all of the information, confirming what was different and what was the same. And when we got to the income, he said, they confiscated my computer, so I haven't been able to pay myself yet.
And what was your reaction to that?
I said, they.
Okay. And did he explain who he's talking about?
He said, the FBI.
Did he say anything else to you about the situation in that conversation?
About the confiscation?
Just his personal situation generally.
Just that he was wanting to make sure that he, his wife, and his son, Mark, would be covered.
And in that conversation, did you ask him any follow-up about adding dependents?
I did.
What did you ask him?
Back then, the application states, is there anyone else in your household, whether they need coverage or not? Is there anyone on your tax return, whether they need coverage or not? And so I just went through those normal questions.
And in that line of questioning with him, did he ever mention JJ or Tylee?
No.
Why did you go through the line of questions with him specifically? What was your reason?
That's what I would do with anybody. It's the questions that are on the application.
Having learned about JJ and Tylee's missing status, did that cause you any concern when you were processing this paperwork for Mr. Daybell at that point?
Yes.
What was the concern?
Just, I mean, it was all over the news that they were missing, and him saying that just validated that they were.
What about concerns relative to the insurance policy?
It made me think we may have a fraudulent life payout.
Explain that, please.
I was worried that Tammy's death may have not been an accident and that the life premiums may have been paid out when they shouldn't have been.
You said premiums, the life premiums?
Sorry, the life insurance money.
Now, relative to the health or medical insurance he was seeking at that time, did his lack of bringing anything up about JJ entirely cause concerns about that health insurance coverage?
Yes.
What was that concern?
To me, it seemed like they weren't going to need any insurance. All that he was asking about was him, Lori, and Mark.
What happened next?
Back then, everything used to take overnight to update. And so we parted ways that day, and I told him that I would reach out when the premium rates were ready the next day.
And did you do that?
Yes.
How did you do that?
Text message.
Did he respond?
Yes.
How did he respond?
Text message.
Okay. Did you at some point talk to him again?
Yes.
What was the next conversation and when?
March 16th, he reached out to me. He had gotten some notices saying that his wife Lori's identity was not verifying. They were notices from the health and welfare saying we can't verify her information. Can you provide us with more?
Did he provide anything to you?
Yes.
What did he provide?
Their marriage certificate and her driver's license.
What happened next in terms of contact with Chad?
Between, let's see, that was March 16th. We talked again on March 18th. Letting him know it was resolved.
Any further contact with him?
A few days later, he reached out about another notice that he received. I let him know that it was taken care of. And I think that was March 26th. And that was the last time I talked to him.
March 26th was the last time you said?
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Anything come up in that conversation about his status or his dependence?
No, not about the dependence.
What did anything come up in the conversation at all?
I mean, yes, we small talked. He mentioned, I told him to let me know if anything changed income wise or otherwise. And he said, I think it's going to be a pretty tight year. I don't see anything changing.
At any point, did you ever send any follow-up text to him about his dependents?
On March 12th, which would have been the next day when I let him know the rates, I just sent him a text message that said, all right, for a household of three, this is what your rates are going to look like. This is what the insurance situation is.
Did you have any reason for sending that besides just letting him know what the rate would be?
Just to one final time, make sure that there was no one else in the household we needed to count.
And what was his response?
He said, sounds good. That's great.
Now, going back to the life insurance, do you normally, is it one of your roles in the office to work with his Tammy's employer relative to the life insurance planning?
Yes.
Okay. And what role do you play in that?
For her school district, I had done the presentation of the open enrollment presentation explaining the benefits, and I gave her life insurance election form. That was the extent.
What do you explain in that open enrollment process?
Just what the benefits look like for the upcoming contract year, health, life, disability, and we show them how to calculate how much life insurance they can elect voluntarily.
Excuse me. At any point in time when Chad had come into the office, did you ever notice anything that he was wearing?
Microphone, please.
Leading.
Overall.
Yes.
What did you notice?
When he was in my office on November 21st and inquired to me about if he were to get married again, my eye was drawn to his wedding finger, and I noticed he was wearing a ring, and I wondered if that was his ring from Tammy or if it was an engagement ring for the new wife.
Did you notice the color of the ring on that occasion?
Yes.
What was the color?
Turquoise.
Did you happen to observe or notice what type of ring it was?
It just looked like a turquoise wedding ring.
Okay. Later on, at any point in time, did you ever observe him to be wearing any other type of ring?
Yes. When he was in my office on March 11th, first of all, he looked thinner and tanner. He looked quite happy, but his ring was black. It was different. And so my mind thought, okay, the turquoise one must have been from his marriage to Tammy, and this is his new one.
Your Honor, I don't have any more questions at this time.
All right, thank you. All right, cross-examination, Mr. Pryor.
Good afternoon, Ms. Ballard. You had an occasion to be interviewed by Officer Mattingly, is that correct?
Yes.
And in reading that interview, I noted that you mentioned that one of the first times Chad approached you about insurance, he was referencing insurance for Seth, Leah, Mark, and just Chad. Is that correct?
Yes.
And that was on the 31st of October?
Yes.
Okay. And then it wasn't your unusual practice, but you helped the family with the Medicaid for Seth and Leah, if I remember. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So the initial request for insurance was just for his children that weren't covered, correct?
Yes. The whole family was losing coverage that day because it was through Tammy previously.
Okay. Through the employment, correct?
Correct. Yes.
So the death of Tammy would cause a loss of coverage for the entire family, correct?
Yes.
Now, on the issue of the enrollment period within regards to the school district, you mentioned that you went to the school and you put on a presentation. Is that correct?
Yes.
And at that point, it was the teachers that were there and the librarian, and that you were presenting just to them. You weren't presenting to the entire family. Is that right?
Right.
So at that point, if they were eligible, it would be the teacher's decision whether they would elect to increase or decrease their insurance, correct?
We give them a deadline of when the forms have to come back. It's very common for people to take those home and discuss them with their family.
Okay, good. And the enrollment period for the Sugar School District would have been when in September?
I think the forms were due back September 15th, and they would have been effective September 1.
And do you recall when you gave the presentation in September?
I gave it in August. It was August 23rd. 2019?
August 23rd?
That's my memory.
Okay. Now, were you aware of the fact that Daybell family had other insurance other than the insurance they were getting through Tammy?
As far, no.
No Primera? You weren't aware of the Primerica policy that Tammy and Chad had prior to the school district
insurance? Objection, Your Honor. Counsel's testifying.
Overruled.
And the base insurance for a first-year teacher is set at what with the school district?
I have no idea.
Okay. And do you have any idea what the cost is per unit of insurance to go up to the $80,000?
I can't think of the rate, but it goes five times your salary. So what she had elected ended up being $80,000.
And that's relatively inexpensive insurance, would you agree?
Yes.
So it wouldn't be unusual if it's manageable to try to seek the maximum amount of insurance.
Agreed.
Okay. Was there any discussion about other insurance options on Lori Vallow's other children?
No.
Was there ever any discussion that Lori Vallow's children were living somewhere else in the country?
Lori Vallow's children never came up.
And in any regard whatsoever?
No, sir.
Okay. All right, Judge, that's all I have. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Pryor. Any redirect, Mr. Wixom?
Can I have just one moment, Your Honor?
You may.
You know, at this time, we have no redirect.
Okay. That'll conclude the testimony then of Ms. Ballard. Is there any intention to recall her from the state?
Judge, at this point, the state's not prepared to release her from the subpoena.
Okay. So, Ms. Ballard, that means that moving forward, you may be recalled to testify again in this case. And because of that, I'm going to admonish you not to watch any of the trial testimony that's continuing because it is available for the public to view. That way, you will be able to not violate an exclusionary order, have an issue if you are recalled to testify. since you're still under subpoena. So with that in mind, thank you for coming in and testifying today, and you can be excused.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, let me next ask the state then, given the time of the afternoon, is there another witness you wish to get started on, or would you request that we conclude for the day?
Your Honor, we do have another witness. However, they are going to be significantly longer than the 14 minutes that's left. It would be the state's preference if it's all right with the court to start that to finish up now. However, we will defer to the court.
Okay. Given the timing, I do think it just makes more sense to start off with a fresh witness and not break them up as they just get started in testimony. So I will go ahead and determine that we'll conclude for this afternoon. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, again, thank you for always following the court's admonishment to not discuss the case amongst yourselves or with anyone else while we're on break until tomorrow. Please don't do anything to review or investigate the case. Avoid any media coverage you see of it to the best you can so that you can remain unbiased and only make your decisions on the facts you've heard here in court. So thank you for those in attendance today for complying with the court's conduct order as well. With that in mind, we'll be in recess starting again tomorrow morning at 8:30 with additional testimony.
All right, please.
There's more to come in the trial of Chad Daybell. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage right here from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.